Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Who's going to be your starting quarterback this upcoming season? I think most of you, if not all of you, think it's going to be the former Florida Gator, Felipe Franks. Well, Coach Pittman was asked about that yesterday, and he didn't really reveal much. It was kind of funny in the way he answered that. And we're going to get into that starting here this morning as well as a bunch of other audio that I think you'll find quite interesting, including why he wants to be here, some red meat for you fans. This Wednesday on a What's Your Beef Wednesday. At any time this morning, send in your beefs, 877-377-6963. It's the Morning Rush. He's Tommy Kraft. I'm Ty Richardson. Always follow our social media accounts at Hit That Line AR on Twitter, at Hit That Line Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We are always streaming live on hitthatline.com. You can find our video stream on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitter. Make sure you can listen also on the TuneIn app as well. Really excited about all these. We got 10 different platforms for you guys. 5 social media stuff and then 5 radio stations that you can listen to the program. Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl Director, is going to join us at 8 o'clock this morning. He has some really good positive things to say about Rakeem Boyd. Really excited to catch up with Jim. Haven't seen him since SEC Media Days, so we'll get a chance to talk with him this morning. Did you listen to what he said about quarterbacks yesterday?
I listened to his part and some of the other stuff, but the head coach generally is a little more secretive, a little more cloak and dagger. We've already heard the offensive coordinator say that it's Felipe Franks' job to lose, but he was a little more cards to the chest a little bit with his information.
And here is what he had to say yesterday about the quarterback position.
Well, we might name a starter. We may already have, but we just haven't told nobody. I mean, we got certain people playing with the ones and certain people playing with the twos. And to be honest with you, we haven't switched that. So I don't know if I'm going to make a public announcement of who's going to be our quarterback, but I might. But our team knows. And that's all that really I'm concerned about.
If you read between the tea leaves, what Tommy brought up earlier is Kendall Briles said openly on the record that it's Felipe's job to lose. Reading what Sam Pittman just said, you would assume that it's the exact same line of thinking, that it's Felipe's job to lose, that they've continued to run that. That's what has led me to believe that in that case. And the important part of what he just mentioned is, like, I don't really care if y'all know, but it's important that the team knows. And it seems like the team knows that Felipe Franks is going to be your starting quarterback in 2020.
I don't really think that – I really don't think that Sam Pittman cares if we know. I think what he really doesn't want to happen is Georgia know. And the one edge Arkansas might have is the fact that there's no tape, there's no way for Georgia to sit down and really look at this team and know what the personnel is and fully prepare and be convicted, hey, this is what these guys are going to do in this first game. The whatever – amount of element of surprise you have with your starting lineup, with your two deep, that's the one edge you can hold and not give away in this first game. So I would be surprised I wouldn't be surprised if in the game notes on week one, the week of the first game, September 26th, if the depth chart isn't a little bit goofy there, or if he doesn't do something.
It's like
a bunch of ors, or who was the coach? It's Jim Harbaugh that listed old players that weren't even on the team. You know, if Sam Pittman went the route of doing something very unorthodox for that week one. So I think he's going to go as long as he can go with keeping as much information within his four walls, because he didn't want Georgia to know, because he doesn't have a lot of edges elsewhere. Why give this one away?
Isn't this pretty obvious, though, who starting quarterback's going to be?
I think Georgia's smart, like a lot of other programs. They're going to read message boards. They're going to listen to podcasts. They're going to tune into what radio shows like ours say, columns like Clay writes. They've got plenty of staff and GAs and people running around that can research and get, hey, here's what they're talking about in Arkansas. Yeah, so you'll know who the quarterback is, but that's not the only thing they care about. They want to know who the left guard is. They want to know who the right guard is. They want to know who's starting at, you know, the defensive position. So I think trying to keep as many of the 22 starting roles secretive is what their goal is.
You mentioned staff members, not only on Georgia, but other teams doing research. I'm wondering if there is a budget within the SEC that allows a certain coach or a certain staff member the ability to get on these message boards, to read articles and stuff. I wonder if there's specific assignments for a member of the department where their entire job is leading up to each opponent this season is to stay intact and stay up to date with different rumblings, different sayings that's going on within Arkansas when Georgia plays Florida and on down the list. I'm wondering if that's actually because, I mean, you'd want as much information on these as possible.
Maybe. You know, this first game is just a little more difficult because there is no film. I mean, once you break the seal on the season, there's game film to watch. And with no spring practice, no nothing, you know, Arkansas is not the only one that's kind of got a curtain up right now. But Arkansas's got a curtain up, and you know Georgia may think they know, but they don't. They don't know. They watch a lot of Missouri stuff. They can watch some Florida State and Baylor stuff with the offense. They know what Sam's about because they're very familiar, obviously, at Georgia with Sam Pittman. But they don't truly know. Knowing your personnel and who you're going to be lining up against is always key in a scouting report.
You bring that up. I'm wondering for Kirby Smart and his staff, what are they more likely to watch? Are they more likely to watch Missouri and Florida State, Baylor, Houston, or are they more likely to just watch Arkansas? It'll be a combination of both.
All of it, yeah.
But
all of it.
Which is going to stand out more? What are they going to spend more time on?
That's a good question. I mean, what do they find the most value in? They may probably also watching some Florida tape, too, to watch Franks. Because I'm with you. I don't think they need to be convinced otherwise that Franks isn't the starter. But this is just coach speak. This is decoy talk from Sam Pittman, what he's saying yesterday. And I understand the reason he is doing that. And that's why I'm of the belief, at least for this first week, we as media, we as fans, may not get much information on a two deep, on a depth chart coming out. Now, I didn't think media would watch much practice. And then the week later, we're watching 15 minutes in our own little 6-foot boxes out there. So I may be dead wrong on this. He may give a depth chart out Saturday, for all I know. But I really think he's going to try to keep this as close as he can to just guard this information.
Well, anytime he's been asked about two deeps or starters, he's said we're going to keep that to ourselves.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to change that.
But on that note of the quarterback, doesn't Kendall Briles saying it's Felipe's job to use kind of defeat the purpose? Like, if you're going to hold it in-house, does it not defeat the purpose that your offensive coordinator blatantly said Felipe's job to lose?
Or did he lose it? He didn't say he couldn't lose it.
He didn't lose it.
Why? Are you at practice every day? I'm not at practice every day. Who knows?
What percentage would you give KJ Jefferson rolled out as a starter in week one?
Less than 10.
I'd go less than 5. Okay. I'd go less than 2, to be honest. So that's not to say, like you're saying, he can't lose it, but there would have to be a major injury or a major incident that would occur for him to lose this starting position.
That's one of 22 spots.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's an important one, and we focus a lot on the quarterback, and you should. But there's a lot of other things he doesn't want people to know either. He probably doesn't want people to know his starting 5 on the offensive line either. Although the last 2 practice reports, we've heard the same starting 5 working together on the front line. So, you know, these are the kind of things, if you're Georgia, you're trying to dig up. And I guarantee you, Sam's got someone trying to dig the same thing up on Georgia as well.
And he has the background of knowing that personnel. I know they lost 2 guys to the first round on the offensive line last year, and they still have some salty guys up front like Ben Cleveland and others, but you're still wondering about certain positions. And speaking of quarterbacks, you don't know who Georgia's quarterback is going to be. It's going to be Jamie Newman. It's going to be JT Daniels. We'll find out in a couple weeks.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Oh, he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
I was texting our buddy Kevin McPherson yesterday, a little irritated, because according to him and his source, Duke is interested in Joseph Pinion. And I would be irate if Mike Krzyzewski and Duke came into your backyard and scooped up an Arkansas kid. Joseph kind of fits the Duke mold. 6'6", and I say this jokingly, but like I would just be aggravated if Duke ended up getting this guy.
I would rather
him go to Kentucky than Duke.
Really?
I'm not kidding when I say that.
You'd have to see him once or twice a year for a few years. I saw this on Twitter. It may have been Kevin's tweet. I don't remember who tweeted this, but I knew we would be discussing that this morning. And you hope you can get a kid that Duke is on. That's another great sign for us. So this is another good recruiting test for the Musselman program is, hey, can you go toe-to-toe with Coach K and walk away a winner? That's a hard one for a kid to turn down. Kentucky's one thing. There's not many kids that Arkansas goes up for that Duke's on. If there's an offer from both schools, that I don't remember many of those recruiting battles. Maybe you do off the top of your head, but I don't. That, hey, Arkansas and Duke are on a kid. I don't remember many of those.
Let's think about just this past class. Moses was on Virginia and Michigan. Juwan Howard and Tony Bennett, both really good recruiters. Arkansas ended up winning that one. You lost out to Bruce Pearl with Chris Moore. Chris Moore elected to go to the Auburn Tigers. You're also going up against Penny Hardaway in Memphis with Chris being as close as he was there. KK was down between Kansas and Arkansas. You see, beat a blue blood in Kansas. Jalen was looking at Oklahoma State. Devo originally committed to Oklahoma State, and Mike Boynton, who is a really, really good recruiter, somehow convinced the number one player in the country, Cade Cunningham, to stay in Stillwater despite them not being able to go to postseason. Yeah. So Muss has won some battles, but like you said, this is a whole nother neighborhood when you're going up against Duke.
And I know, you mentioned Kansas and some blue bloods there, but Duke just seems to be the bluest of blue bloods.
They call it a brotherhood. That's former players, current players. There is a network within Duke that is unlike any. And listen, Kentucky's close, but it's not Duke. It's not Duke at all. I saw this yesterday. Thug Nasty, Tommy, the Bryce Mitchell, and Jenkins, you can chime on this if you want to. You see, he finally got his camo. Yeah. I texted you yesterday. Yeah. I was really excited about that. I was
Tom like, with Realtree, and they're teaming up with Reebok and getting the boy his camo shorts that he's been he's been begging for the past 13 fights.
And that's great. Why do they need to team up with Reebok?
Because it's the best camo.
Well, Realtree is the best. Yeah, why does Realtree need to team up with Reebok?
I think Reebok sponsors the shorts that UFC players wear.
Oh, okay.
They had to do it somehow because
Reebok has a deal with UFC.
UFC and then Realtree's teaming up with Reebok.
There was some linkage about that. So
because Realtree is like and has been the top camo pattern designer for. I used to. My uncle has that outdoor store, Jelco Outdoors, in River Valley, Northwest Arkansas. I worked there 20-plus years ago when I was in college, worked in Russellville. We sold Realtree items that was the cutting-edge camo stuff then. And I'm going back late 90s. So, I mean, they've been around forever.
Someone in the 479 chiming in saying he just got his economics degree from Harding as well. So
Thug Nasty did?
I guess. So I'm taking
a guy named Thug Nasty generally doesn't seem to be the type. Have you been to Harding? Been around that campus?
Oh yeah,
I've been around that campus.
Up there.
I spent some time around Hardy. A guy named Thug Nasty generally isn't the kind of guy you associate with the.
I just hope when they introduce
Harding student body.
Hope that when they introduce him to get his confer his degree, receiving his economics degree, Thug Nasty.
Yes,
I listen.
Would love to hear the Harding president say that.
And it's that's a school that I didn't. I love going to basketball camp there as a kid in the summer, playing FIFA, playing 8 or 9 basketball games a day. But I did not ever once consider going to Harding University for school. I went to Lenoir Christian. I had my confined. Told what to do every moment of every day. I had 18 years of that. I was ready.
You'd have gotten 4 more at Harding.
I would have gotten, and it probably would have been worse, honestly, when it comes to that. Last quickie headline before we get into this conversation of what Arkansas media members look like, which definitely want you to chime in on that. According to Kurt Herbstreit, who was on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville yesterday, that it looks like College game day is still going to happen. Doesn't look like there's going to be fans. They're going to try some virtual stuff, kind of how the NBA is done. But at this point, it looks like they're still going to travel at least, but they're just not going to have fans, unfortunately. And that is one of my favorite parts of Saturdays. Waking up about 7:55, flicking, and I know sometimes we have pregame shows and stuff that that gets in the way. But typically, like on a normal Saturday, I'm waking up early, I'm watching College Game Day, and I'm just watching college football the entire Saturday.
And it matters because it's a badge of honor, because Arkansas fans continuously bring up it's the program in our state that hasn't had it involved with one of your games in the longest stretch of any other SEC program. People still bring up the Arkansas-Tennessee game when they were here. So, I mean, it matters. And then when you missed out on some other opportunities when Arkansas fell short. So that program still is the most relevant college media piece probably out there.
Mm-hmm. So. No, exactly right. So that, and that's definitely something that, again, you'll be excited about when it comes to just this upcoming Saturday and what will happen. Yeah. I hope we see it. We'll see what happens. The ESPN executives, what decision they make.
Everybody's in adjusting mode right now, and you just got to figure out how to make it happen right now. Hey, is your home in Arkansas at least 10 years old and served by OG&E? OG&E is offering Arkansas customers a no-cost-to-you program to increase your comfort and to lower your bills. Trained crews do energy audits at your home at no cost, and if your home qualifies, their crews come back and install measures like attic insulation, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, power strips, smoke alarms, carbon monoxide detectors, and a whole lot more. The services provided through this program are no cost to you for qualifying homes. If you or someone you know could benefit from the free weatherization program, call OG&E today, 1-800-272-9741. That's 1-800-272-9741.
Last week, Trey Biddy told us that Monteric Brown said he looked like an egghead. So that got me thinking, what is each member of the Arkansas media? What do they look like?
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
You look like a lady.
Do you think I'm pretty?
He's like Zac Efron.
What does he look like?
What does he look like?
Oh, that's the worst part of it.
All right, I'll start with me because some people will get offended by this. Some people will find it really funny. And coming up in the next couple months, every March we do the most annoying Arkansas sports media member bracket, which just gets tons of traffic. People are really excited about that because everyone likes to mess with media members, not only inside this state, but across the country when it comes to sports, some outside of sports as well. So I'll start with my what I've been said I look like. I know John liked to mess with me about this. Do you know who Megan Rapinoe is, Tommy?
I've heard John mess with you about this. I've heard that name. I would have to Google to put face and name together.
She is a United States women's soccer player, really talented soccer player.
Now I know who
player.
You're talking
now
about.
Now you know who I'm talking about, but apparently at one point in time, I had the hair that looks like her.
Yes.
I know that my friends, when I grow my hair out and I part it, they called me Hillary Clinton in college.
Which shade of color of her hair?
Which pissed me off a little bit when they called me.
She has multiple different colors if you Google the image.
Do I have multiple different colors?
No, I mean, but which one do you look more like?
Which Megan Rapinoe do you look like?
Right, that's
there's
what I'm
multiple.
Asking.
There's pink hair Rapinoe, there's probably blonde Rapinoe.
Probably the blonde one. Yeah. I don't anticipate me dyeing my purple hair soon, anytime soon. So
it is a striking resemblance. Yeah.
Yes. Good smile, I guess. So that's what I've been characterized at is sometimes. That's mine. Jenkins, I've been told you look like Peter Griffin.
Yeah.
Have you gotten that before?
I've more times than you can count. I've gotten Peter Griffin and Hank Hill than anything I've ever seen in my life.
Hank Hill.
Because all people like, thought of that say way.
Propane.
Oh, man. All right. Tommy, you look like a guy that's going to be one of the few males to experience menopause.
Damn. What does that mean?
I don't
know. Wow. Well,
what does that mean?
I don't know. I couldn't think. I
doesn't sound like it's in good fun.
It wasn't in good fun. I mean, that sounds like he was cool with Peter Griffin and Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like he's getting personal.
He really is. God, menopause.
God, maybe I just need to go home.
You also look like Archie Miller, which I know.
I've been told that I could be a coach at either Arizona or the Sean the other Miller. Brother. Sean's at Arizona. The other brother's up at Dayton. So,
Archie's the head coach.
Those are my doppelgangers.
Yeah, Archie's the head coach in Indiana, and then Sean, I don't know how, is still the head coach at Arizona, even though there's been multiple recordings about him with players.
So what does menopause mean?
I don't know. I just made that up.
You're backtracking. You're backpedaling awfully quick.
I'm not backtracking.
He's moving away from this as fast as he can.
I just said I don't know what it is, and I'm forgetting.
Yeah, you're the one that wrote this. From? I mean, you wrote it. So, I mean, you wouldn't have wrote something you didn't know about, would you?
Jim and Harrison text that in, Tommy. I'm just telling
you. These are your words.
I'm just telling you what you the text is.
I mean, he did
Jim did not write the rundown.
He did start the segment saying, I came up with this list, right?
Do we need to go pull the tape?
I think we need to pull the tape.
I think we need to pull the tape.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good radio show. Exactly. Remember that, Tommy.
Make sure you don't do that. So
He's trying to figure out how to slip out of the corner here.
I'm not in the corner. I'm not back in the box at all.
I don't know.
What is that from?
Back to the turnbuckle here.
That's what it's from. The other woman. I was like, because she gives him the pills of, she gives him estrogen.
What?
That's what it is. I couldn't think of what that movie was, but that's what it's from. So. You don't know what I'm talking about.
So Tommy has menopause now, apparently, according to you.
Menopause.
Menopause.
Menopause. Mm-hmm. So
if I do, it's because you gave it to
me. That's probably true. Wally Hall looks like he's the spokesman for a Life Alert commercial.
Wow.
He's one of those guys that pop on, and that is what Wally Hall to me looks like. Mm-hmm. Mike Irwin looks like a guy that loves scolding his grandchildren. He takes pride and pleasure into that. I love Mike.
Mike likes to scold a lot of people.
He likes to scold a lot of people, and I definitely think that that is also Kurt. Otis Kirk looks like he's one of the scientists trying to figure out about Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster.
He looks like one of the scientists that if it was discovered, he would be the one taking his glasses off to tell you about it.
Yeah. Behind the curtain. Bo Mattingly looks like he took a wrong turn when trying to find the North Pole.
Now, what does that mean?
She's short and he looks like an elf.
Oh, okay. That's where you're going. Short joke. Okay.
I just wanted you to, a tad bit short.
I understood it. I just wanted him to lay it out.
Hutch looks like Steve Rogers before he came Captain America.
All right.
Nothing?
All right.
Nothing at all.
Nothing.
Okay. These are not landing like I thought they would. Phil Elson looks like with the mustache looks like an 80s porn actor.
Very accurate. That is accurate.
That one I can get on board with a little more.
Do you know who Steve Rogers is?
Not really.
Okay. Steve Rogers.
That's why I didn't land like the way you wanted it.
Maybe I should like ask you about these prior to.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Holt looks like a guy that has.
We're in different age groups here.
Comic books have been around for like 100 years.
Okay.
I mean,
are they still around? Do they still make comic books?
Digital comic books.
Okay.
E-readers.
My kids do not read comic books.
There's no comic books in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Bob Holt looks like a guy that has more than just two cats.
Wow.
Derek from Fayetteville says these are good. I'm following you, Ty. You guys can get locked in. Let's go.
Fine.
Come on. All right. Derek Ruskin looks like the before pick in an Accutane commercial.
Now, that's just mean right there. It's just me.
He would think that was funny. If he was lit, he's not up right now.
He would think it was funny on the outside, but it would hurt on the inside.
I don't think Ruskin's hurt by anything. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he's hurt by anything.
All right.
Danny West looks like Paul Dano. You got to look up this actor.
Right.
This guy looks exactly like D. West. Nikki Chavanel, and I can say this because we're friends, looks like she should be dressed up in a toga at a sorority function. Clay Henry looks like a guy that hasn't caught a fish in years.
Well, you know that's not true.
Yeah, is this Paul Dano right here?
That is Paul Dano. To me, that looks exactly like Danny West. I think that Danny looks exactly like him for whatever reason. Do you see it? No?
Yeah, I guess I can see it a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I'm wondering, Clay, those fish that Clay always sends us, Tommy, does someone else catch them, or does he just have them in a cooler somewhere?
No, I've seen Clay catch the fish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Josh Bertattini looks like a VeggieTail from an asparagus from VeggieTales.
All right.
You see that?
Okay.
I can see that.
All right.
Tom Murphy looks like great value Tom Selleck.
Wow.
With the mustache,
right. with the Hawaiian shirt.
That's almost a compliment rather than an insult.
Yeah, it is a compliment. Yeah. So he does look at it. He's got the mustache and he's got the Hawaiian shirt. He's just not as handsome. I think everyone can agree with that when it comes to Tom. Arnes looks like a guy that uses way too much Rogaine and Just for Men because he simply can't let it go.
Too much Rogaine.
David Basil looks like David Hasselhoff walking into Abercrombie & Fitch.
Well, that comparison's been made before with Baz. So
I can't take credit for that. And I love Basil, and he's just a good fried out dude. All right, text out of the 479. that says Zach Arns looks like the guy at Pinnacle who says he shot a 58, but you saw him kicking his ball out of the rough on 7, 9, 14, well, and 17.
Well, interfered with, you know. That doesn't count.
Arns told me he shoots in the 80s on golf. Okay. I am highly suspect of that. All when right. you tell me you shoot in the 80s on golf, I'm like, I actually believe that. When Arns
you believe me,
that,
but you don't believe him?
I don't believe Zach Arns. So, John in Nashville texted me, he says, Baselhoff.
Yeah, see, that was the term I was thinking of.
Yeah. So, any media member comparisons that you want to make? Jenkins, you as well?
I can't think of one off the top of my head. It just you nailed it right on the money of me looking like Peter Griffin. Hank Hill.
What does Matty T look like? What does Lance, I'm trying to think of, like, what does Lance look like? I'm trying to think of that off the top of my head. Yours has been told to me, and then I like started watching Family Guy. I was like, that's Jenkins. A lot smarter. You're a lot smarter than Peter Griffin. I'll give you that.
I was going to say, is it the smartness that you're giving me, or the body size, or I am a big guy, and Peter Griffin is a rather large cartoon character.
You're funny too. You have you have the humor to go along with it. What would you care? Would Archie Miller and Sean Miller be yours?
Yes. Oh, I've been told that. Ruskin brought that up. I think it's actually his dad that, well, 5 or 7 years ago, brought that up in a NCAA game. He put a picture of me and him next to each other on Twitter, and I did not realize the resemblance, but there is quite a resemblance.
Oh, I forgot to get to John's. John Neighbors looks like Patrick Reed stopped working out.
There is. We used to rib him, you know, particularly during like a Ryder Cup or I think the Masters that Patrick Reed won, because there is a striking resemblance between those two.
John likes to think he looks
particularly
like,
since John's lost some weight.
Yeah, John likes to think he looks like Baker Mayfield. He looks more like Patrick Reed than that. Yeah, exactly. I pull that up, and it's like, this is what you look like. You don't like. I mean, there's the beard and stuff, but he looks more like Patrick Reed. Yeah.
I've got from time to time Seth Rogen too.
I can see
a little bit of that.
Not a stoner.
Like you gotta grow out your beard.
Yeah, the
beard's
got to get thicker for that
to be at. So I think a little bit.
A little darker hair.
Yeah, so. And I've been, obviously, we got in the open of our show, the Sunshine part, from Friday, not Friday Night Lights, good grief, from Remember the Titans. I got to grow mine out a little bit, obviously, and I can't think of the actor's name, but when my hair grows out a little bit, obviously, it looks like that. So, yeah.
No. Trying to think of coaches. Trying to figure out how we could evolve this. Is there an SEC coach that reminds you of someone else? Or even just a college football coach? Like Dana Holgorsen. There's a guy that just has a weird look to him, particularly when his hat or visor comes off and that weird-looking whatever's going on with that thinning mane of his. There's a guy that looks like someone that, lost his family at a NASCAR race or something.
Sean from Alma texting says Phil looks like Joe Rogan. I know Phil's mentioned that before. Yeah. As far as that goes, the famous podcaster.
Yeah.
Corey said, since you're talking about moving to coaches, Bielma looks like Big Bird and the Penguin from Batman had offspring.
Wow.
That's very specific.
Morris, what does that say? Morris looks like the Yo-Kiero
Taco Bell. Yeah.
I don't know what that. You
remember the Chihuahua off the old Taco Bell commercials? Yo Quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
You know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. The old talk, that was what? Early 2000s?
It's been a while, yeah.
So, Zach from Mozart texts and he says, I always thought Bielma looked like Butthead. I think Bielma looks like Bobby, Hank's son.
That's been the one I've seen. Kind of screenshot it on Twitter.
Yeah, I think Bobby is a good characterization of what Bielma looked like when it comes to that goes. I think if we're going to move to coaches, we can just go down the SEC list. I think Eli Drinkwitz looks like Jeremy Piven in old school, the Dean look.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his glasses. Yeah. And it's really funny when they bring him in on Feinbaum or something, he's always like fidgeting with his glasses. It just doesn't look like a football. Listen, that's... It's not me criticizing his football acumen. He just doesn't look like a football coach. He's the complete opposite of what a football coach looks like.
So I'll picture him on. Go ahead.
Oh, this article was published in 2019, but it talks about that. It said Bielma looks like Rob Riggle.
Maybe old Bielma.
That gained 100 pounds.
Hugh Freeze looks like Napoleon Dynamite.
John Heater. I can see
John
that.
John Heater. Butch Jones looks like Frank Sutton off of Gomer Pyle. See, Gus Malzahn looks like Kelsey Grammer.
I can't really see that.
Let's see here. Jim McElwain looks like Jim Bob Duggar. We've heard this one time and time again. Dan Mullen looked like Cousin Eddie off Christmas Vacation. Will Muschamp looks like Christian Bale.
He wishes.
Barry Odom looks like David Koshner. Which, that's a striking resemblance.
Yeah.
Ed Orgeron looks like Wahoo McDaniel. And Nick Saban looks like Wayne Johnson, whoever that is.
So. More people know who Nick Saban is than Wayne Johnson.
Yeah. So.
Alex Baldwin and Kirby Smart, I can see that too. So, Corey Rogers texted, he says, Brad Davis could be the chef off South Park. I haven't watched South Park in quite some time, but if that's the comparison, then that is one. This one comes from Brandon in Paris. He says, Tommy is Flint Lockwood from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Ty looks like a roadie from the 90s Metallica, and Jenkins looks like the old wrestler Goldust.
Wow.
Who's that? Who's that, Jenkins? I don't know who that is.
Well, Goldust painted his face gold, and he was very flamboyant. We'll just say flamboyant.
Is that the politically correct way of saying
it? We'll say that for a politically correct way.
All righty.
Who is Flint Lockwood? Pardon me for not knowing.
I don't know who that is. I haven't seen that. It's a new movie.
It's a cartoon movie, I think. Right.
I read that book, but I don't know if I've seen the movie, to be honest.
I'd rather Brandon tell me I look like the Big Show or something.
I don't know who that is either. Is that a big wrestler? So,
yes, he's a big wrestler.
Jim and Fayetteville text in, Eli Drinkwitz is Andy Bernard from The Office. That's a great one.
I'm amazed how many texts we're getting on this.
That's fantastic about that. So if you want to get your text in at any point on this, what coaches look like, what me, Tommy, or Jenkins look like, what Arkansas media members look like, it's 877-377-6963.
Some good text here. So keep those coming. It is a Watch Your Beef Wednesday. He's just having some fun here on a Wednesday. What was the last one there, Jenkins?
Says, I look like Jenkins could be the daddy on the dinosaurs.
So keep those rolling in.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
He's doing the best job he can for Arkansas. Sam Pittman was asked, I believe, from Tom Murphy about just the offensive line coaches getting opportunities to coach in college football. And here was his response to that. It's like, that's not that big of a deal. That's not my main concern.
Number one, in all honesty, I just want to do a good job for the University of Arkansas. Would I like O-line coaches to have opportunities? Do I think there's guys out there that are worthy of head coaching jobs? Of course. But my main concern is I just want to do the best damn job I can for the University of Arkansas.
DVH is going to retire here. Mike Nabors took this job and said this was the only job he was going to leave Washington for.
A
place he took to the Final Four, which is very key. And he's having to not necessarily restart at Arkansas because he has roots here. But the Washington program was a much farther along than the Arkansas women's basketball program was. Muss and Juracek have seemingly bought in. I've been on the record saying Muss is not going to retire here. I'll say that. I can't say the same about Juracek. I don't know what his plans are. I don't know. I don't have enough of an idea about him. But he seems he's got his two sons here. One son's at FHS, one is on the team, one is a GA on the team, so you got that. So it looks like they've at least bought into this point. I had someone text me last night, he said, the most relatable coach since Houston Nutt is Coach Sam Pittman. Now, you loved Bobby Petrino because he was winning football games, but he wasn't relatable to you. He was kind of a jerk. But you look past that because he won football games and it didn't matter. But
winning atones for a lot of sins.
Exactly. What you loved about Houston Nutt, and listen, he had his misgivings like every other coach that's come through this campus. What you loved about Houston Nutt is you could feel, just from the way he spoke, that he was proud to be your head football coach. You can feel from the opening press conference, from when Sam Pittman got emotional and literally had to leave the mic stand, that he wants to be your head football coach. Now, that doesn't equal success. Don't put words in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a part of it. And I've been on the record saying I think it's one of the biggest reasons that he could be successful here at Arkansas.
Well, it proves or shows buy-in. Now let's see what happens when games are lost. You know, obviously when games are won, it, you know, a lot of other things are overlooked, and we've seen that.
It's easy to get good PR in the offseason.
Exactly. It's easy.
Easy.
It's when games are lost and adversity hits that you find out what your character's about. You find out, you know, what people are really about is in the tough times. And there's going to be some this year. There's going to be some till he gets the program built in a way and gets the players in that he's going to need to build his kind of program. So all of this is wonderful until he's coached a game, and then let's see what happens. I think there are some things you're dead on about as far as the comparisons with Nutt and wanting to be here and the embracement of our state. You know, we always have this in Arkansas, this chip on our shoulder or this inferiority about our state as a whole. So when one of our leaders, one of the people we look up to, one of the people we listen to their words, embrace our culture, embrace us as a state, as a fan base, you know, we're quick to jump on board with that.
The inferiority complex you're talking about, like you always like to joke to me that I get frustrated when stuff happens because mm-hmm. I do. That's what I've grown up with, obviously, and it's been amplified tenfold because of how much your football program has sucked the last couple years. And I think one of the things, and this is when I get so frustrated with college football writers, Stuart Mandel of The Athletic loves to make fun of Arkansas fans and chastise them. Y'all remember when Bobby Petrino got up at the Little Rock Touchdown Club and there was a standing ovation for him? Why people got up and cheered, and I know he apologized, and we're not going to get into the conversation, was it authentic or not? Why people cheered and were happy and gave Bobby Petrino the applause is because he is the last guy to give you respect as an entire state. Constantly, you're in the weeds. You're in you're chastised as an entire state, as a society. There's this idea outside of Arkansas that you don't belong in not only the SEC, but really the United States, which is just straight stupid. And I've told you the story before about going to New York and people asking me if we had electricity, surprised to see me wear shoes and stuff like that. And just the respect that you have is like, it stems a lot, really. Like the pride that we have as a state comes from what happens on the football field on Saturdays up there in Fayetteville. Well, what's happened the last couple years is you had a coach that completely ripped your heart out and ripped the respect, any former respect that you were getting from certain people across the United States, from certain college football people. Because we know how important football is to this state's fiber, Tommy. And not only socioeconomically,
part of our identity,
but just the emotional side of it as well.
Part of how we identify who we are as a state. That mascot, that university. Just the Razorbacks is such a source and sense of pride to so many of us. We're in better moods when we win. We're in worse moods when we lose. When the football team is rolling and, you know, like it was in 2010 and 2011, people are more free with their money and spend more money. The economy generally is a little bit better than it should be in Arkansas as a result of that. We just have a better sense of self-worth when things are better with our sports programs around here.
Justin Van Buren texts in, he says, would Pittman be this happy about any head coaching job in the SEC? I would be pretty excited myself. So on that note, I think that you'd see excitement from any college football coach taking an SEC job. But, and I don't know if Sam Pittman could get a head coaching job at any other program. I don't think he was interviewed at Mississippi State, Ole Miss, or Missouri, which were what? The three other openings right. that you had in the SEC this year. So, yes.
This was his only opportunity to be a head coach in the SEC was at Arkansas.
Yeah, so. No, and on that note, Tommy, I think with, like, yes, there's excitement, and yes, you can maybe he's just excited to be there, but I genuinely, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm completely off base, maybe I'm just eating the mashed potatoes, green beans, and turkey, but I genuinely believe him when he says he wanted this job. Now, again, coaches are great with PR, for the most part. They know what they're doing. They've been taught for many years. I know he's been on the offensive line side of things, so he hasn't necessarily got as far as head coaching, teaching, what mm-hmm. it's like to stand press conference and stuff. But if you believe from players that he's as genuine as it gets, shouldn't he be given the benefit of the doubt from sports media and fans that he's genuine when it comes to what he says about wanting to be in Arkansas? And I know you're skeptical. Based on what happened with Morris, based on what happened with Bielema, because you've had those roller coasters.
At least the in-state media, I think he has been. I mean, it's pretty widely reported that he'd already bought real estate on Lake Hamilton, that he had made plans prior to this job and this opportunity coming up to retire here. I think the story has been reported about his desire to call Arkansas home when his coaching days were done.
And so, I'm not saying that the Arkansas media hasn't
wanting to be here, I think has been a story that I think has been reported.
It has been, but you should always be skeptical when a coach says anything or an athletic director says anything, because what? They have to be politically correct with everything they say. They can't piss off another coach and another team, because then there's red meat for them to come into your house and beat them. Or you can't say something wrong in today's society, or you might get fired, you might get fined, whatever the case may be.
You got to measure your words.
Exactly. So when a coach says something, that's what I've been taught since I started in media, you always have to be skeptical of it. That doesn't mean you automatically think he's a liar. But Tommy, you know, I mean, you've been in this business longer. It's like politics. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people are just straight up lying. That's just how it is. But in this case, and again, back to the conversation, like,
but with our guy, he's not. Right.
In this particular instance, that's not to say he hasn't told a fib or he hasn't told a media member something that simply wasn't true. I'm talking about in this particular instance, when it comes to wanting to be the head coach of your university up there in Fayetteville, wanting to be the head coach of your Arkansas Razorbacks, I genuinely believe him based on what you've heard players say about him, based on what you've heard him say directly associated with campus, based on the emotions you've seen. It comes off as genuine to me. But as you mentioned, it's going to be a matter now. Hey, it's genuine now. What happens when they start losing games? How are you going to respond to that as a fan, as a player, and other coaches on that staff?
I mean, and we've talked about this a lot over the course of the last 5 or 6 months, and with Sam in particular, but I just think about if I was in a career position and you'd worked for 2.5 decades in an industry and never gotten the chance to be the head coach or to be a general manager or to be a president or a CEO of a company, would you leave where you're at and go somewhere else? I mean, would you take a job in an area of the country or maybe international to have that one opportunity before your career is over? Probably, because you want to have that shot. You don't want to have any regrets in your career. And who doesn't want to triple their salary in the sunset years of their career? Well, anybody does, right? Anybody would like to, pad your retirement after you've made a good, a good living for 2.5 decades. Hey, let's cap this thing off right. And it's almost like a free at bat, so to speak. So for Sam Pittman, this was the best, most ideal opportunity for him.
I'll give you an example. And this is completely, Tommy's never heard of this before. This is completely authentic. I'm telling the absolute truth. So 2 weeks ago, I was reached out by a station in Nashville, 102.5 The Game. It's the ESPN station about potentially doing an interview and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I told them no, because I actually like being here. Now some people would say, outside of Arkansas, why would you not take a potential morning show opportunity in Nashville?
Big
there's
market,
also one of
a lot more money.
Yeah, so. and it was more money. And there's a 104.5 station there in Nashville that's also looking for a radio host, and I got reached out to that as well. But I genuinely don't have a desire to go back there. Not to say my time in Nashville wasn't great or whatever, and some people would look at me and say to me, why would you not want to be there compared to Fort Smith? Because I would, and this is authentic, I'm not just pulling your tail or anything. Because I genuinely don't want to be there. This is where I want to be.
Yeah.
And so for some people, that it's just like blasphemous. It's like, how could you say that? Why would you rather be there? Well, one, like Tommy's talked to me about, it's probably not a good time in COVID to try and take another job with everything going on in flux. Two, some people just like where they're at. Like it comes like the niche that they're in, the station that they're at, and they you wonder
to do what we want.
Yeah, why is this guy or why has this girl been at this radio station, this TV network for 30, 40 years or whatever? Because some people find what they like, their coworkers, their audience, whatever the case may be, and they stick
management
on with it.
I mean, you keep going. Yeah.
So
ownership,
and that's like, and again, some people are just like, oh my gosh, why would you pass up that opportunity and stuff? And I got continuous texts about that. I was just like, I don't have any desire to do that right now. And also, I think it's also talking about like your wheelhouse. So I like talking Arkansas sports, SEC football, and the occasional national stuff. I couldn't care less about the Titans, the Preds, the Vols, the Commodores. Like, that just does not appeal to me. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the recall on those sports, those stations, those teams like I do with Arkansas. Like, I know I'm young or whatever, but if you match me up like 2000 and on when it comes to games, when it comes to players, I can go toe-to-toe with pretty much anyone when it comes to that conversation. I know there's a lot of football that was played before 2000 with the Arkansas program, but as far as that is concerned, that's just a perfect example. And I don't know. Let's say, like, on that note, Tommy, if Sam Pittman was like, he had success at Arkansas. We've heard, I want to retire here, I want to retire here, I want to retire here. Let's say he does have success and another program, a better program than Arkansas, because there's some out there, comes and knock it. Is he going to own up? Is he going to do what he said he's going to do and stay with Arkansas and retire on Hot Springs on Lake Hamilton? Or is he going to think about that opportunity? Is he going to jump ship?
Well, if that happened, that means there has been a good measure of success here at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And that means the program is back on its feet and not just walking, but jogging at least. Because that's what it would take for that set of circumstances to unfold. That's exactly what Arkansas fans want at this point.
I was going to say, it's almost like the catch-22. It's like,
you want that opportunity for Sam.
At least to be presented to him. Yeah. But that, again, begs the question, what I asked earlier, if he is given that chance, and we're getting the cart way before the horse. Dude hadn't coached a game yet. Right. But this is a radio show. We're hitting on perspective, what could happen, what could potentially happen.
We also once worried that Chad Morse would go back to A&M.
Exactly. So. If given that chance, if given that opportunity, would he still stay in Fayetteville, or would he entertain it? Now, I mentioned this earlier, I'm under the belief if Eric Musselman gets a blue chip type of program offer or some, and I know he said he likes the college game better and stuff, but if he gets a job offer in Cali with an NBA team or something like that, I think he's gone.
The difference is this where he wants to retire and spend the rest of his years, is in Northwest Arkansas, or is it the West Coast? He's a West Coast guy. But it's apparent and clear that Sam wants to spend out his days here.
So. And that's, again, something that should be discussed when it comes to all that.
So, yeah. Hey, we're brought to you by Will's RV, 5 miles west of exit 72 off 549 in Springdale. New owners Lee J. Ferris and Chris Owens invite you to come by, see all the top brands like Grand Design, Forest River, Vibe, KZ, and Sportsman, as well as Paradigm Fifth Wheels. And they're the only place you're going to find a lifetime warranty in Northwest Arkansas or the River Valley. So stop in and see Lee J. and Chris. It's all at Wills RV, online at willsrv.net, 5 miles west of exit 72 off 549 in Springdale.
We mentioned the respect that Bobby Petrino really was the last coach able to establish, and we talked about out at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, he was given a standing ovation, and there were sports writers, sports media members across the country. Can't believe how stupid Arkansas fans are for doing that. And listen, Petrino's the snake that bit you. You let him into your home, you got along for a while, but then he bit you, and it came back to bite you. And that sucks. But we know about the great times that you had when he was your head football coach, and the respect that he gave you as a state, as a program, across the board, across the U.S., was huge. You're not laughed at anymore. You actually had a football program that you could cherish, you could come together with. Here's what Sam Pittman had to say about making the program respectable again and giving you something to be proud of.
I can feel the passion for the program and the passion of how much that the Arkansas fans want this program to be respectable and be talked about in a respectable way. And is there pressure with that? No, probably, but I don't know how you put pressure on a guy that puts pressure on himself. You know what I mean? So, I love this place, and I want it to be what it should be, and it's going to take a lot of work. But I'll tell you this, my friend, I'm surrounded with some great coaches, and our players are playing hard. And as long as they'll do that, we're going to improve. But to answer your question, you can feel the passion of the Razorback fans. They want some respect, and certainly we're going to try to give it to them.
And it's not going to be easy to give it to them. There's a reason this program has won 0 SEC games in the past 2 years, 1 SEC games in the past 3 years. The program is not in a good situation right now. So again, this goes back to what we said earlier. It's easy to have great PR in the offseason, great PR as a first-time head coach. But until you actually accomplish what you're set out to do, then that next step is never going to be taken from his perspective, from the fans' perspective, and the players' perspective.
Yeah, and he, you know, it's going to take time, too. I mean, that's one thing that fans are maybe a little short on. Maybe I think 2020 and COVID and all this stuff has given us all a little bit more perspective and reprioritized maybe some things, at least in the short term. I don't think that will last when all of this is behind us. Winning will become the only priority again when games and things are back to normal. But I think we have to understand this is a 2 to 3 year reclamation project here, and I'm not sure how much is actually accomplished in this year. This may be like a three-quarter season. So, you know, it may be into 2023 before you really kind of see fully what you're going
to
get.
Yeah, and that's difficult to comprehend and be okay with.
Nobody wants to be patient.
I mean, we're fans in a sense. Like, is that okay? I mean, it's going to be hard for us to get on this sports radio show every single day after the season and say, hey, you just got to wait till next year. And then do have to do the same thing to the year after. I mean, that's not fair to you.
No, you just want to see progress.
You think about the money that you spend on season tickets, the money you donate to the university, the money that you may have gone to college there that's spent. And I know that all that college money wasn't, you know, supposed to get an education and stuff, but part of that was to hopefully see some good football teams at the U of A, something I did not get to experience. The money you invest is not to see a crappy football team.
That's what I'm talking about. It may take into that time period to get to a point where your roster is built to win 9 or 10 ball games. I'm not talking about be better than you are now. I'm talking about being back to what we expect, which is 9 or 10 ball games. Having a chance to win more than eight or more. Something along those lines is not going to happen unless there's just time to invest. You can't plant a seed today and pick the crop tomorrow.
And the reason, I mean, you got to be a tremendous salesman if you're selling tickets at the University of Arkansas or at the Razorback Foundation, because it was one thing to ask for all that money in 2009, 2010, and 2011, 06, 02, 98, 95, and you're winning, and you're one of the perennial programs in the SEC. Tommy, it's a heck of a lot harder to do that when you have downtrodden is like the understatement of the century when it comes to this football team.
You don't have to be much of a salesman when you're on top. You know, you're just an order taker at that point, right? You know, so yeah, it's not difficult when you're at the top of the standings, nationally relevant. You're taking orders for tickets. You're not selling a vision. Right now, you got to sell a vision. You got to sell a path. Show a plan of what we're trying to get done here.
And it's difficult to do that when you've done that the past two head football coaches. They both failed.
Alabama's not selling tickets or selling recruits. They're just taking orders. They're just filling orders.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Jim, I haven't seen you since SEC Media Days when we were playing NCAA football in the old Xbox. How was your vacation earlier this month, man?
Oh, it was good. It was good to get away from everything that's been going on, just relax a little bit. We hadn't been away as a family since in almost a year, since well before last year's Senior Bowl, so it was good to get away.
One of the reasons we wanted to have you on today is because of your comments made about Rakeem Boyd earlier a couple months ago, talking about that he should be at the top of any 21 draft running back stock, that you really like his tape study, and that you think he just has a chance to pull away. Jim, why are you so high on the Arkansas running back?
He's just talented, man. Like, plain and simple. I think any Razorback fan that's watched the guy, first of all, he runs against a bunch of loaded boxes, and he averages, you know, his yards per carry. I'm not a big stats guy, but you know what he averages per carry is really impressive for a guy that on a team that didn't have great balance. So he runs with really good vision and patience, which all good backs do. And then he's got that home run gear. You know, like to me, working in the NFL for as long as I did, you just kind of you develop your own, you know, theories on certain positions and figure out what works and what doesn't. And we went through this a few years ago in Seattle. We were, as a scouting staff, we were really going to bat for a particular running back. I won't name him. And he didn't run real fast. He ran in the 4.6s. And we, So we went and did a bunch of studies. Our coaching staff was kind of going against this player, and we went back and did all the studies. And you'd be amazed how many awesome running backs at the next level were ran in 4.6s coming out. So I do think speed's overrated, but when you have it, it's a huge benefit. I spent 4 years in Kansas City with Jamaal Charles, and to see what he can do, when, you know, once he broke through the second level and just ran away from people. That's a huge threat, and Rakeem Boyd has that. And like I said in that post, he's got what I always refer to as easy speed. He doesn't even look like he's straining to run, and he just dusts guys. So, excited to see what he can do. I'm glad they're still hanging on in the SEC and playing football, because I really, really look forward to seeing more Rakeem Boyd.
Jim, you mentioned that he had to go up against loaded box a lot of times last season, still put up over 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns. Under Kendall Briles, how do you think he will be better utilized in 2020?
I don't know about better utilized. I mean, a lot of the way people defended Arkansas was a function of what they were doing in the past game, but I would expect to see something a little more spread out. You know, Coach Pittman's a really good offensive line coach, crossed paths with him a bunch when he was at Georgia. Over the years, and did a great job building up that offensive line, because before Coach Pittman got to Georgia, they went, you know, they had struggled developing offensive linemen. And now since he got there, you look at how many guys they've put in the pros. So, I think Rakeem's going to have a good year. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. You never know when a new coordinator comes in what exactly it's going to look like. But I think he'll have more space to work with.
Jim, what would be your advice to some of these guys around college football that perhaps could elect to take an extra year that the NCAA is going to grant with eligibility, and there's going to be some decisions that guys have to make? Do they want another year in college football or make the move to professional football and enter the draft? Particularly at running back, when you start looking at age and shelf life and how many hits the body can take, what advice would you have for somebody that might be contemplating that in a few months?
Yeah, unfortunately with the running back thing, I mean, it's almost become a one contract position. So, don't have great advice for those guys. You know, again, the wear and tear is more important than the age, in my opinion. But for any player, I think the key thing moving forward is getting the right information, right? There's so much out there. You know, unfortunately, a lot of these guys go on social media, they go on Twitter, they go on the internet, and they read certain things about themselves, and they think that's what they are. They need to get an educated opinion from guys in the NFL. And it's a little easier at an SEC-level school. I always use the example of Alabama. It's easy for those guys to walk down the hall to Coach Saban's office and ask him, hey, what are your friends in the league saying, you know, where do they have me? And he can make 4 or 5 phone calls and get a pretty good idea on where the league has a guy. But it's harder for smaller school guys and you know, group of 5 guys. Their coaches might not have the same connections that you would at a bigger school. So that's really the most difficult thing. They've got a lot of people in their ears right now. They got family members, they have agents. And then it comes down to the particular player. I mean, some guys, if they're here and they have any sort of draftable grade, even if that's a day 3 grade, a later day 3 grade, that's good enough for them to want to come out. Some guys get that sort of grade or even a mid-round grade, and they want to come back and prove themselves and up their stock for the next year. So that's the biggest thing across college football this year when it pertains to the draft, is just getting these guys educated opinions, the right opinions on what their draft status would be.
Yeah, and these opinions, these draft grades that guys get, how reflective is that generally of what happens in the draft? How accurate generally are those opinions? How accurate do they turn out to be in most cases?
Well, if they're coming from the NFL, they're very accurate. You know, that's one thing we've done the last couple of years since I've been at the Senior Bowl is we'll pick our first, you know, 80 to 90 players, and they're pretty easy. Those guys are pretty easy to pick. We do that at the beginning of November every year. And then once the season, you know, it's really Thanksgiving is the week that it's worked out the last 2 years, just because that's when director level guys that have access to all the grades with the NFL teams and can go in the draft room and sit in front of their board. And we go position by position and try to get a consensus on, you know, for the bottom, you know, the back end of our roster, you know, the spots 90 through 120. And when you do that, when you poll half the league, you get a really good consensus on where the league has a guy. There might be an outlier here or there, you know, one or two teams might have a guy way higher or lower than the rest, but you get a pretty good feel. So, again, it's getting the opinions of the people in the league, not anyone in the media, not agents, no one else. You got to go to the teams. And again, you have to have those relationships, because if you don't have those relationships, I mean, no one's just going to, you know, come out and tell you, yeah, we've got a third round grade on this guy. They have to trust you. So that's why it helps to have a guy like Coach Saban, or, you know, most of the SEC coaches for that matter, or Big Ten coaches. So that's the hard part for some of these players. They're trying to navigate this thing, and it happens on a yearly basis. They're trying to navigate it, and they don't really have the right information.
Talking with Jim Nagy here, Senior Bowl Director on the Morning Rush. Jim, we mentioned Rakeem Boyd. What about Felipe Franks? That's been a guy that many Arkansas fans have been wondering, what's Arkansas getting with him? I know he's probably going to end up in the Senior Bowl. He's going to be a senior. Just kind of your evaluations on the Arkansas quarterback.
Yeah, Felipe's got to put it all together, right? I mean, I've seen him for years down at Florida. I mean, going back to the time when I was in the league, I remember seeing him at practice. I mean, he's got all the tools, but he needs to put all those tools together. And it's going to be hard for him. You know, he's transferring. He's in a new system. He's got new teammates. He hasn't been able to work chemistry with his group all off season. I'm sure they've done some things off the field. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, these kids have been working together through the pandemic. I mean, it's been happening all over the country. So, you know, he's got some on the field work. It's not like he hasn't done anything, but it hasn't been under the supervision of the staff, and there was no spring ball, and so he's behind it right there. I mean, that's a difficult transition when you're trying to do it in 1 year. But for Felipe, the tools have to translate this year. That's the key thing for him.
Jim, another quarterback I want to talk about is Jamie Newman. I'm curious to see what ends up happening with him and JT Daniels, who gets that starting role. If it is Newman, what can you tell Arkansas fans listening about who they're going to have to face in week one?
Yeah, Jamie's he's a difficult study right now coming out of Wake Forest. Really good deep ball thrower and a big, strong, athletic guy. And they did a nice job working him run the football. But Wake Forest is a really unorthodox offense, and he's going to a little more of a pro-style system, so it'll make it easier for the NFL to evaluate him. But he, like Felipe, he's got all the physical tools. I mean, he's much higher up the up most teams' boards than Felipe would be right now, you know, in our eyes as well. But this is going to be a big year for him. And again, yeah, they brought in JT Daniels, but he's got more than 1 year of eligibility left, you know, and Newman doesn't. This is Newman's year. So if I'm Georgia, I mean, I'm hoping it's Jamie Newman. You obviously have the competition going into camp, but you're hoping it's Jamie Newman because you brought him in. And you brought JT Daniels in after, you know, just so for if you ever wanted to go down this road again and bringing in transfer quarterbacks, it would work out best for Georgia from a perception standpoint and a recruiting standpoint. If Jamie Newman's your guy this year and JT Daniels is your guy the next couple of years.
Yeah. Jim, just thinking about McTelvin, a game, who went through the process with the Senior Bowl this last year, and then just kind of looking at some defensive linemen again for Arkansas this year, a guy like Dorian Gerald or Jonathan Marshall or the transfer and Xavier Kelly. Are these some guys that might be on the radar to be involved with you guys later on that are seniors this year on that front line at Arkansas?
Yeah, Gene did a great job down here. Really helped himself. I was pleasantly surprised he went in the third round last year. We didn't have that kind of grade on him coming into the Senior Bowl, but he had a really good week. I mean, obviously, he really gets off the ball. And, you know, we put a real emphasis on that last year to bring in guys that have pass rush upside. You know, guys that are just two-down, run-down players aren't getting picked as much. And if they do, they really tend to slide to the later round. So that's what we saw in McTelvin, was the guy that at least with his initial quickness could be disruptive. And he had a real nice week down here doing one-on-one pass rush and did some flash in the game. So that really helped him. So that was cool to see. Talking to my guys up in Denver, they say he's doing a nice job up there. You know, Dorian Gerald is a guy that we really want to see more tape on. But yeah, he's in the mix. Another guy that's really interesting is the grad transfer, Jerry Jacobs from Arkansas State. You know, he got hurt last year against Georgia, but man, he was playing at a high level, really athletic. He can run, really, really fast guy. The speed's obvious on tape. So he's another guy that's really interesting on that Arkansas defense.
What is it when you're kind of narrowing your list and looking at tape and figuring out who you want to look at? What are some of the boxes you're looking to check, just obviously other than speed and athleticism?
You know, we evaluate every FBS player, returning starter role player. So we evaluated over 900 guys already for the game, and it's give our staff a ton of credit. That's how we spent the whole pandemic. And, you know, unfortunately, we had to cancel a lot of things we like to do in our community down here in Mobile, supporting all levels of football, whether it be high school 7-on-7s or, you know, NFL Play 60 flag leagues, that kind of stuff. But it really allowed us to just really dig into this tape. So, yeah, I mean, that's a difficult question. Obviously, the NFL is a height, weight, speed league. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go on a college practice field right now, and you can pick out the guys just based off body type, really, that are going to get a chance. And that's just it's a genetics league. So height, weight, I mean, if you're just asking blanket across all positions, it's definitely height, weight, speed, physical traits. And then a lot of it's the makeup, and that's what's going to be hard for scouts this fall, is that, you know, they're not going to be allowed on campus. And the schools are doing a really nice job of setting up Zoom calls, and they've been gracious enough to let our staff jump on these calls with them. But the makeup of the player really matters a ton. I'm a huge believer in that. When I was in the league and I missed on a player personally, or the team I worked for drafted a player and we didn't hit on him, I mean, 9 times out of 10, it seems like you look back and it was something in the makeup that you missed on. You know, whether it was learning, passion for the game, toughness, durability. I mean, those intangible qualities really matter. Those are things we look at as well. And that's where we rely on our relationships, because we can't be in the schools every day, even in a normal year. We don't have that kind of budget. So it's just working the phones and talking to coaches around the country and finding out the guys that, you know, have what it takes to make it and sustain themselves to the next level.
Jim, let me top off the interview with this. You mentioned that you worked and scouted for the Kansas City Chiefs at one point on ESPN 95.3 and ESPN 104.3 on our stations. We are the new home for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. We're going to be playing all their games. Kind of your thoughts, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Legion of Zoom, that defense, any chance they can repeat this year?
Yeah, obviously. I mean, they got the quarterback and they got the coach. So, I mean, those are critical components. And I spent 8 years in New England with Brady and Belichick. So I've seen what that's like. So they have those two boxes checked, and those are two huge boxes. They've got great chemistry. They got playmakers on defense with Chris Jones and Tyrann Mathieu. I mean, they have everything. You know, they've got all the pieces. So it's going to be a weird year this year, because again, right now, you know, with the COVID, everyone's doing a really good job and the numbers are down. But the concern in the league, talking to friends around the league right now, is what's going to happen once the season gets rolling. Are they going to be able to sustain this? Right now, everyone's in training camp mode. But what's going to happen when they break training camp mode? Is everyone going to stay diligent and do what they have to do? Or are we going to have outbreaks? And those sort of things could really affect the season. If you lose some guys at a position group for an extended period of time, I mean, that can force you to lose a couple games. And in the NFL, 2 games is the difference between winning your division and being a wild card, and then that affects playoff seeding and playing at home or away. So one or two losses can really affect you in that league. So, yeah, talent-wise and coaching, I mean, they should be the odds-on favorite.
Jim Nagy, Senior Bowl Director, also ESPN Draft Analyst. Jim, good to talk to you this morning. Hopefully we can catch up at SEC Media Days in Nashville in 2021, man.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Really get insight from a guy that knows a lot about the seniors, not only the seniors, but really just college football, NFL. I mean, the fact that he had scouted for, I mean, he mentioned, let's see, Seahawks. I'm just going to go on a limb and say that might have been Marshawn Lynch that he was talking about. Yeah. He talked about Jamal Charles and the Chiefs, and then being around Belichick and Brady. Tommy, that doesn't hurt when it talks about football acumen either.
Pretty good list of names right there.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.